is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Blowback from President Trump's decision to blow up boats off Venezuela, send covert CIA operatives into that country, and possibly carry out military strikes. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Venezuela's foreign ministry saying this type of maneuver aims to legitimize a regime change operation as its ultimate goal of having access to Venezuelan oil resources. It comes after the U.S. carried out its fifth deadly strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat off Venezuela.
Dozens of Pentagon reporters turned in their badges yesterday rather than agree to clear their stories with the government. Video verified by ABC News appears to show Hamas-linked gunmen carrying out a public execution of Gazans they suspect of helping Israel. As for the hostages, Hamas says right now there are no more remains to turn over. More than 130 students are quarantined in South Carolina in a measles outbreak. At one school, only 17% of students were vaccinated. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Week 42 of the 2025 movie season is at hand and with some nice choices. First up, what do you get when you cross a venture capitalist, a gig worker, and an inept angel? A comedy drama called Good Fortune, starring Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen, and Aziz Ansari. The film is drawing good reviews so far, and it's nice to see another comedy in the theaters. After the Hunt, starring Julia Roberts, opened in a limited release last week and goes wide this week. Reviews are just so-so for this crime drama. Black Phone 2 hits the big screen to pretty good reviews for this horror film starring Ethan Hawke and Madeline McGraw. The film is pulling roughly the same fresh rating as the first Black Phone at around 80%. Opening in semi-wide release are two dramas. The first is Urchin, starring Fear the Walking Dead alum Frank Delane, who plays an addict living on the streets of London searching for redemption. Truth and Treason is a German historical drama about a teenager in a moral dilemma as he tries to avoid the Gestapo. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO is along, as well as Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on Politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Mostly cloudy today and a bit breezy with some scattered showers developing, maybe even a rumble of thunder, highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, a few isolated showers mainly in the evening. Look for mostly cloudy skies otherwise, with lows in the mid to upper 50s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You know, I love my job. I absolutely love sharing the story of Wisconsin agriculture and all the folks in it with you. But I'll tell you what, it is a challenge. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on a Thursday morning. The challenge is that the Midwest Farm Report team, Stephanie Hoff, Ben Jarbo, Kylie Allen, do just a great job presenting all kinds of story opportunities. It's difficult to figure out what I want to share with you. So today we are going to give you a little snippet from yesterday's Farmers for Free Trade Caravan that showed up in Westby, Wisconsin. They stopped at Darren Von Ruden's farm. He is, of course, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. What's this group all about? What do they hope they're able to accomplish? That's one of the stories that's on the way. Katie Burgess, broker dairy analyst with EverAg out of the Madison area, going to be talking with us this morning on how traders are viewing the markets, minus all the USDA data that's so critical. That's another story that's on the way. And we're also talking a little bit about the harvest season. Not corn and soybeans necessarily, but what about your garden? A couple tips on canning and preserving safety that you don't want to lose sight on. Kylie Allen joining us with that. So like I said, a lot of moving parts to try to keep organized. The weather, well, that looks to be organized under cloudy skies. I thought we were going to get a little more sun today. 20% chance of showers this morning. Daytime highs today under cloudy skies, probably around 65 degrees. So a little warmer than yesterday. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Highs near 77. That looks beautiful. But then Friday night, we've got showers and thunderstorms and some rainfall amounts that could be measurable. How much? We'll find out about that with Stu Muck coming up in just moments. Just around the corner, speaking of policy, Ben Jarbo is going to join us with a conversation. Derek Van Orden from Western Wisconsin represents us in Washington, D.C., and he's got a laser eye focused on how to keep the farm bill moving forward with inaction in Washington, D.C. Ben Jarbo and Derek Van Orden coming up next.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorceed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorceed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorceed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
Labor has been an ever-growing need in the agriculture industry in recent years, and the H-2A program has been through some turmoil with making sure foreign workers can stay year-round. This led to Congressman Derek Van Orden introducing the Agriculture Reform Act of 2025. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and the representative is here to share a deeper dive into what this bill looks like.
Every farm I go to, every farm, and I try to spend as much time on farms as possible because it is truly my happy place. Everybody needs labor, and no one can find enough labor. And I asked everybody, if you had more labor, could you milk more cows? Yes. Could you process more potatoes? Yes. Could you raise more hogs? Yes. Could you process more hogs? Yes. So that's in the processing side. So everybody needs labor. And so we're just acknowledging something that, that everyone knows is true, that, you know, if you deported every single person that is here working on our farms, the agriculture industry would collapse immediately, as would the hospitality industry and the construction industry. These are just facts. And so what we've done is taken a very pragmatic approach to try to make sure that we can have a consistent group of people working here, so that the guys that are and gals that are running the business know that they can run their business. And then the humanitarian aspect of this is that a lot of these folks have been here for decades, and they're our neighbors. Our kids go to school together, and, you know, they're working really hard to support their family. And that's just a fact. I mean, we in government have to face, we've got to face some real simple facts, and our job is to try to make things better for people. So here's the gist. There's some very strict provisions. The only crime these folks can have committed to be eligible for this program is entering the country illegally, and that is a crime. So if they've committed any other crimes, they're not eligible for this program. They're going to have to go onto an app. We want to get a button on the CBP One app, because right now there's a button you can push. You get $1,000 and a plane ticket home. That's self-deportation, and over a million folks have done that already. But you'd push a button and you'd go into a temporary protected status for a year. You're going to have to, the worker's going to have to physically leave the United States and enter through a legal port of entry. And the message is going to be very clear. If you're going to work in this country, or if you want to move to this country, you're going to do it legally. End of story. They're going to have to pay a fine. And the reason they have to pay a fine is because they broke the law. And if you get a speeding ticket, you pay a fine, right? Same concept. The employer is also going to have to pay a fine, because the employers know that these folks are here unlawfully. They do. And so that's really the basic gist. Now, I want to be crystal clear. This is not amnesty. And it's not a pathway to citizenship other than how any other person would become a citizen. Because once you come back into the country lawfully, if you want to be a citizen, you've got to get in line with everybody else. So I'll give you an example. Let's say I've been working here for 50 years on a dairy farm, and I get enrolled in this program. I leave the country. Someone steps into the country for the first time, never been here. They got here 5 seconds before me. Guess what? They're in the head of the line. I am not. You're not skipping any lines here. And I think this is about an 80% solution. It's been solicited around. I introduced it a couple of weeks ago. It's getting very, very positive feedback in Congress. And we're discussing this with some folks in the administration. And how I would like to see this sequenced, if we can get it done, is I'd like to see some immediate executive action taken by the Trump administration based off of this legislation, and then have the legislation pass through the House and the Senate and get signed into law. That's what we're looking at doing. And everybody I'm talking to in the agriculture industry is very excited about this. And if we can use this as a template for, you know, construction and hospitality, that's a good thing too.
I mean, obviously, one of the things that might perk up some of our producers' ears that would use this is that fine talk. Do you have any idea how much that fine would be at all at this current moment?
Maybe $2,500 to $5,000. But listen, they're hiring people illegally. That is unlawful. It's period. So there has to be consequences for breaking the law. We also have to understand that gravity's real. Rocks are heavy and trees are made of wood. This is the hand that we've been dealt, and we've got to play it the best way possible. But here's the other thing. If producers don't want to do this, and these people get deported, if you get deported from the United States, you can never lawfully enter the country again. Like, that worker is gone forever if they don't enroll them in some type of program. That's reality. So, you know, how the government works is we're going to write legislation. The legislation's already written. And then when legislation passes, it goes over to the executive branch, and they assign rules. So what the fine is specifically relating up to the Department of Labor. That would be the Secretary of Labor. How long they have to leave the country, that will be up to the Secretary of Labor also.
And the other day when you're talking, you said that this would be a faster turnaround than what we are currently seeing for.
Oh, dear Lord. Yo, listen, man, last Congress, I volunteered to be on the Agriculture Labor Working Group. And we came up with like 26 bipartisan recommendations. But the H-2A program is broken so bad, it's impossible to fix in my lifetime. It takes too long. It's only good for 1 year. It's only for seasonal stuff. Well, guess what? They raise almonds year round. And down in Texas, they get 7 cuttings down on the border of alfalfa. Now, granted, our alfalfa is way better. I'm just going to say that. Hopefully no one from Texas is listening. But we need to have these folks here year round. And it's also, it's not just the person raising the hog or out, you know, working in a field. It's also the agriculture adjacent people. Because when you go to the grocery store, you don't buy a hog. You buy a pork chop. Well, that went through a processing facility. So what we're doing is we're trying to get real solutions in real time. And H-2A is broken. So we're just pretending like it doesn't exist. Another good thing in this provision is it's good for 3 years, not one. And you're going to have to recertify probably every year or the first year for that the 3 year period of time, just to make sure nothing's going hinky. But it's good for 3 years. In other words, you do a one-time fee for 3 years instead of a fee every year to get the same person back that's been working on your farm for 35 years. We're just taking a real practical. I mean, this is what, if I was a farmer, this is what I would do. It's a practical, no nonsense, not flashy, you know, no bells and whistles and stuff, but it's going to make sure that we have a stable labor pool and that the people that have been working here that are our neighbors, that the only crime they've committed is entering the country illegally, that they're treated in a humane way. These are people.
Yeah, and another aspect you mentioned the other day as well is that if a farm has a lot of these employees, a lot of these people working, they can kind of go in shifts doing this, right?
Right. So the reason that you go into a one-year protected status is because if you have, let's just say, 50 people working on a dairy farm and they all have to leave the country, if all 50 of them left at the same time, the cow's going to keep milking. Do you understand what I'm saying? The hog is going to keep growing. So it's going to be a management issue for individual farms to rotate these people in and out of the country so that they can maintain their production capacity. It's a management issue.
Congressman Van Orden says that currently with the government shutdown, there is no set time for when this would go into place, but they will work to get it out as soon as possible. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now's a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a very important case before the Supreme Court. Will they gut what remains of the Voting Rights Act? Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Rain event, kick you out of the fields for certain for a day. That's not been happening. It's kind of cut the line, though. People are still spread manure, but not necessarily going at it as far as corn and soybean combines.
Yeah, I think we've got just enough moisture, you know, the additional moisture and rain that's on the crop standing. We can't quite run it through the machine, but oh well, yeah, we can clean out the barn and the pit, that's for sure.
And well, and that's really important that we use as much time as we can. What is it here already? The 16th of October, we want to get it done. So today, again, more rain in the forecast, rain possibly tonight into Friday. Are we going to see this add up?
Well, you know, again, another couple of tents here and a couple of tents there, slowly and surely with several chances of rain as we make our way through today and on into the weekend, I think we'll start to add up. And it's quite possible we could start to talk about heavier amounts, especially Saturday night when rain may finally start to turn into something upwards of a half inch or more could be seen. We start out today with that warm front still trying to build up out of the southwest, southern South Dakota back into Iowa, northern Missouri. The radar indicating scattered showers, especially rain in North Dakota, north central South Dakota, but very scattered activity from Minnesota into western Wisconsin, right along the Mississippi and just a bit further in. That's about the only place rain is in western Wisconsin this morning. That may finally start to spread in, not amounting to much yet today or tonight, but quite likely in the weekend we see more rain and more that may actually add up in the rain gauge. I'll have forecast details after this.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, that little rain in the west this morning, spreading east during the day, just not going to amount to a great deal. More clouds around. Oh, and expect we should be up to around 60 in the north and mid-60s south. Southeast winds about 5 to 10. Still some rain chance early with clouds, a little clearing later in the night. We don't cool down too far. Very low 50s north, mid-50s in the south with the southeast breezes. And tomorrow could actually be a little sunshine trying to break through. Sure, some rain later in the day in the west already, but pushing into the 70s, low 70s, even upper 70s in the south. Rain a little more likely Friday night. Lasts into Saturday, later Saturday, Pam, is when rain may actually start to add up. Saturday night, Sunday, when we could have some amounts to really brag about come Monday.
Oh, that's an outlook that we can kind of look forward to. I mean, everybody says the same thing. We may not necessarily like the timing, but we sure do need the rain.
Yeah, we need the moisture, and unfortunately, at least two or three chances until we make our way to the end of the weekend, and next week should start a little drier.
Hey, with the federal government shutdown, are you still guys getting the drought monitor?
I haven't seen it since it shut down.
Well, look into that. Talk to me about it tomorrow, okay?
I'll tell you that they're not putting it out.
Okay. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us with your weather details on the Midwest Farm Report. We've got Katie Burgess with EverEgg on the way this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce. That's problematic. And then as we've seen the costs increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look, use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive, really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. Mm-hmm. So the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 has erased, having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. Mm-hmm. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community, and they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Blowback from President Trump's decision to blow up boats off Venezuela, send covert CIA operatives into that country, and possibly carry out military strikes. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Venezuela's foreign ministry saying this type of maneuver aims to legitimize a regime change operation as its ultimate goal of having access to Venezuelan oil resources. It comes after the U.S. carried out its fifth deadly strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat off Venezuela.
Dozens of Pentagon reporters turned in their badges yesterday rather than agree to clear their stories with the government. Video verified by ABC News appears to show Hamas-linked gunmen carrying out a public execution of Gazans they suspect of helping Israel. As for the hostages, Hamas says right now there are no more remains to turn over. More than 130 students are quarantined in South Carolina in a measles outbreak. At one school, only 17% of students were vaccinated. This is ABC News.
Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee actress and filmmaker Cara Mulrooney makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Dan Hess of Old World Wisconsin joins me to discuss a big upcoming event. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Mostly cloudy today and a bit breezy with some scattered showers developing, maybe even a rumble of thunder, highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, a few isolated showers mainly in the evening. Look for mostly cloudy skies otherwise, with lows in the mid to upper 50s. Right now, 53 degrees.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please. Something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matt and Air on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dad Cap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, you know, we're looking at that number, you know, continuing to dwindle. So next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, you know, that just, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, you know, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down. What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It's always something. 1670 AM.
Dairy markets have been holding on by the skin of their teeth, but some of that is because we're not getting all the information from USDA that we traditionally would. We've got a milk production report that's due out on the 20th, but it doesn't look like the federal government will have its wheels moving by then. What does this mean to the trade? What does this mean to dairy farmers? We're going to talk about that and many more things with Katie Burgess. She's one of the dairy analysts joining us on a Thursday morning with EverAg. So glad you're along with us. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on this, the 16th day of October. Oh, my goodness. We're already so far into the month of October, huh? What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1968, the Milwaukee Bucks played their very first game. It was their first season in Milwaukee. They started it off with a loss to the Chicago Bulls, but it signaled the first time that Milwaukee was kind of back in the action when it came to basketball. Happened on this day back in 1968. Some happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to actor Tim Robbins, 67 years young today. And now you know. But do you know all that fresh produce that you gathered from that garden this year? Do you know how to safely save it so that you and your family can enjoy it? Heaven forbid you decide that you're going to give it as a gift to family. You need to make sure that you're processing it safely. Kylie Allen is up to her elbows in fresh produce and stories about what you need to be aware of if you want to keep it.
It's a form of food preservation that was developed by a contest held by Napoleon. Heather Quackenboss is the Extension Human Development and Relationship Educator. She gives us a few tips and tricks that we need to know to ensure that our canned food is both delicious and safe.
So it's going to depend on what you're canning. Hot water bath is really well good for fruits, for high acid foods, peaches, jams. You can do pickles because that vinegar is that acid in there. Anything that's a basic food, you are going to want a pressure canner. Now, some folks are like, oh, I can just use my pressure cooker or, oh, my Instant Pot. And we can't do that. We need that canner rather than cooker if we're going to do something with pressure.
And what's different between maybe a pressure cooker and a pressure canner?
Pressure canner is actually built to have all of those jars in there. It's built to withstand more heat, more pressure, and that way we can do things like canning our meat or canning our beans or things like that. A pressure cooker is just going to cook the food. So it's going to take your whole chicken and make your chicken really a whole lot faster when you get home than putting it in the oven would.
And if I'm using a pressure canner, is there any safety concerns I need to be concerned about?
You know, we are all very terrified of the pressure canner. It hisses, it rattles, it makes noise. I always thought it was going to go through the roof when I was a kid. And pressure canners have a lot of safety features on them now. Pre-1970s, there were stories of pressure canners that went through your ceiling. But now they have a lot of vents that if it does get a little too high pressure, they do vent out. What we just need to make sure we do is follow the directions for that pressure canner. And if you have a chance to can with a friend or a person who's done it before, that second time canning will be a whole lot more comfortable. The last thing is, if you do have a pressure canner, and maybe you got it from grandma's basement, maybe it's been kicking around your basement. If it's a dial gauge that has that gauge on it where it reads the numbers, you can bring that to some of our extension offices and we can test that dial gauge for you to make sure that it's accurate. So if it says you need to can this at 11 pounds of pressure, you know that it's 11 pounds of pressure.
And let's say maybe I'm trying to preserve something that is a more basic food. I don't have maybe a pressure canner. Is there any other way that I can still safely preserve it?
Unfortunately, no. I did have a call once. A woman really, really wanted to pressure can or to hot water bath her carrots. And it's not safe. I mean, food safety, science-wise, it's just not safe. Those carrots are not going to get hot enough to kill all of the bacteria that are in them. So for basic foods, a pressure canner is the only safe way if you want to can it. Now, if you want to freeze it, that can work for you. You can blanch those carrots or beans or peas or whatever you have, blanch them, put them in freezer bags, and they'll last in your freezer just as long as canning would.
Maybe if I have a garden at home and I want to try canning something for the first time, what's your recommendation? What produce should I go for first?
You know, easiest to do is frankly jam and jelly, to tell you the truth. Jam is just mashing those berries up. Jelly, you have to strain it and get the juice. Tomatoes are usually pretty easy for folks because you can dice them, you can sauce them, you can try to make a paste with them. You can do almost anything with tomatoes. I like to do at my house what we eat the most. So honestly, it's tomatoes, peaches, and green beans from our yard.
Heather Quackenboss, along with us, the Extension Human Development and Relationships Educator. She reminds us that if you have questions while canning, give your local Extension office a call or look online at the National Home Food Preservation website. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We're number one. We're number one.
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Our buddy Katie Burgess with EverAg is joining us in about 10 minutes to talk about what the trade's discussing on a Thursday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yesterday, Farmers for Free Trades Motorcade came across the state of Wisconsin. They are making a 14-state tour focused in on America's agricultural heartland and the issue that farmers are voicing about concerns over open markets and reduced trade barriers. They stopped yesterday in Westby at Darren Von Ruden's farm. That, of course, is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade Movement, explains what they're all about.
Farmers for Free Trade got started in 2017, and it was a lot of the ag associations that came together to form Farmers for Free Trade. So the corn growers, milk producers, the pork producers all decided what was needed was really a voice out in the heartland, right? That there's a lot of lobbyists in D.C. We didn't need more lobbyists. What we needed was an effort to really engage farmers and engage people on the ground talking about trade. because trade is so important for U.S. agriculture. You know, 20% of our farm revenue comes from exports. So if we're not talking about trade, we're not talking about a really important part of farming.
Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade Movement. They figure they're going to put on about 2,500 miles on their RV as they make their way around the heartland. And Keel explains a little bit more about what they're hearing on this tour.
Well, as we've been traveling and as we've traveled through Wisconsin, we're talking with farmers and we're listening. And we're hearing the same story everywhere we go, which is that farmers are having a hard time right now. That input costs, whether that's fertilizer or tractor parts or farm chemicals, they're more expensive than they used to be. Part of that's because we're putting tariffs on stuff. Stuff coming into our country, we're putting a tax on it, and that's raising our prices. And then commodity prices are low. We're having a hard time selling our soybeans and our corn. And farmers are really getting squeezed in the middle of that.
Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade Movement that was in Westby yesterday. They're going to finish up their tour in Washington, D.C. with a big event with their motorcade as well as members of Congress. You'll hear more on the Farmers for Free Trade efforts Monday morning right here on the Farm Show. Bob Bosold was in Westby yesterday. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, pretty lackluster, not a lot to talk about. Right now, December corn's up a half at 417. November soybeans are up 3.5, 1010. July new crop wheat's down a penny and a quarter at 537¾. Barrel cheese yesterday went up 3 cents at 174. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged. Double A butter, 3 cents stronger at 167. November class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now is up a nickel, 1634 a hundredweight. Katie Burgess with EverAg is next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Congratulations to the Milwaukee Brewers playing in the National League Championship Series. This matchup with LA being referred to as David versus Goliath.
That's baseball, so respect this team.
Manager Murph knows there's some magic brew running through this team.
This group's come together all season.
From Yelly's power at the plate to clutch pitching, your local station for the Brewers in October is 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO is along, as well as Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on Politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
To dairy. We all know that we're still working in an information vacuum, Katie, when it comes to a lot of the dairy increments that we're kind of monitoring. We're getting the barrel and the cheese price all the time, that type of thing. But some of the bigger picture information still missing. You're also kind of keeping an eye on our live cattle prices. We need that beef market to stay strong on us, Katie. What are you seeing?
Yeah, that is totally the case. I think as dairy producers right now look at these milk prices, these cheese, these butter prices, it's a little disappointing, but the cattle market continues to be a bright spot with, you know, just again, last week, we're up to new all-time highs. And so I think as we think about dairy producer revenue, it's really good prices for cull cows has been an important part. And even more important, the price for baby calves, especially if they're a dairy beef crossbreed, you know, is just through the roof. So that's been a very important bright spot at the farm lately.
You know, one item that I've been talking about really for a couple weeks now is some of the new insurance products that are available for dairy producers. And it kind of does lean into that dairy beef side of things. We want to protect our milk production. We also have to kind of protect that beef value, too, don't we?
That's exactly right. Just starting this summer, USDA came out with a new livestock risk protection insurance product that dairy producers can now use to protect the value of those calves. Because as we look at any sort of profit that's been being made on a dairy these days, right now the profit is coming from the calf values because the milk prices are only lackluster. And it was kind of perfect timing that USDA launched this product right at the same time that calf values are hitting new record high levels. And so we have been encouraging dairy producers to go out and learn more to see if it would be a good fit for their farm. Because while the milk prices you can protect for next year are only so-so, you can go out and protect nearly record high calf prices out till next summer.
Yeah, Katie Burgess joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. She's one of the fantastic staff with EverAg. You can find their whole team and what they help folks do at ever.ag. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about those milk prices, Katie. I mean, even though the market is working with very little information, none from USDA, we've been at least not seeing major dramatic moves. What have you been noticing as far as, let's just talk the fluid milk. Let's just look at class three, which is the milk that goes into cheese, our major driver in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. To your point, Pam, it has been pretty sideways here in the nearby months. And I think the markets right now, even though we don't have the data, we know that we're heading into the peak demand season. The holidays are coming up soon. You know, people are eating more pizza this time of year as they watch football, Thanksgiving, even Christmas will be here before we know it for lots of cheese trays. And so the nearby prices have been generally sideways. The part that we have been watching with some concern, though, is that we are getting new production data out of the international markets. And it seems like in places like Europe, New Zealand, they have plenty of milk. And as we watch their commodity prices, particularly European cheese has got a lot cheaper over the past 6 to 8 weeks. And that's making the U.S. markets nervous about 2026 because 2025, the story has been record exports. And with potentially more milk coming out of Europe, there's a big question of if we'll be able to keep up our numbers.
You know, one thing that we're lacking to keep a track of what we're doing here in the United States, Katie, our monthly milk supply update, probably not going to make it since it's supposed to be issued on the 20th. What do we do? What do we do then? Because then we are literally walking blind. Everybody may have regional numbers, but nothing that draws us as a nation together as far as milk production and no trigger for dairy revenue protection.
That's exactly right. That, you know, what we've been trying to do so far is kind of keep our ears open. And I know on the grain side, a lot of analysts have been good about putting out extra data. You know, we're trying to do that same for the dairy side as well, of gather up what we can so we understand what's happening in these markets, even if we don't have the official numbers. But yes, as this goes on, especially if we don't get the milk production report in short order, there will be a lot of questions out there because, to your point, it impacts things like the dairy revenue protection insurance. So we'll have to see how USDA decides to respond to that.
You know, and the other point that should be made a lot of the information you might want to get, Katie, is very closely held by dairy cooperatives because of the competitive nature of dairy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, honestly, one of the pieces that I like to watch too, especially in this environment with lots of milk, is what's happening with dairy culling. We don't get that data. But one other part that's been interesting to me is you can see dairy cow prices or dairy heifer prices at market. In some parts of the U.S., like in California, we're starting to see those come off the highs. So we have a little clues here and there about, maybe people are going to start to slow their expansion a little bit. I mean, still very high prices, but off the peak. So yeah, we're definitely poking around for any data we can find out there to try to put together and see the picture the best we can, even with some gray spots.
Are you getting any idea on anybody culling more, trying to capitalize on the beef price while they got it?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is especially a little bit out on the West Coast, where dairy producers, because they're paid more on butter, get a lower milk price than we're likely going to see here in Wisconsin this fall. They're starting to get a little bit nervous, and that's where it sounds like we're starting to see people back off on buying all these extra cows. But here in the Midwest, I haven't heard it yet. Right. So regional for now.
Katie Burgess, you are a sweetheart. I so appreciate you getting up with me. Katie Burgess, she's live with us on the Midwest Farm Report, one of the great dairy analysts with EverAg. She's out of their Madison office. Find them online, ever.ag. Ben Jarbo in the big chair tomorrow morning. We'll see you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Penn.
News from the Center, WRCE.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
U.S. pork sausage is a hit with Korean pizza lovers. Up next on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. You farmers and ranchers are used to taking risks. You know there's a certain probability that livestock could get a disease or a crop could be wiped out in a storm. But we also want you to think about the safety and health risks you face daily and take steps to beat the odds. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Always on the lookout to find new markets for U.S. beef, pork, and lamb, the U.S. Meat Export Federation scores a win in Korea. A pizza chain in Seoul was looking for something new to try, according to Ellie Sung of the USMEF's Korea office.
They wanted to do something different with their pizza introduction. So I suggested U.S. processed pork for their pizza toppings. And then they tried many different types of U.S. processed pork, and they decided that Johnsonville sausage would fit perfectly with their new pizza.
Which was not bad news for Andy Tower of the National Pork Board, who says the new pork sausage offering is the sixth most popular choice in the chain's menu of 20 different pizzas after only a few weeks.
It was going to be a special offering. Now they're going to keep it on the menu through the end of the year.
Tower says this helps plug U.S. soybeans as well as pork.
So I think this is a great example of the value of the collaborations between U.S. soy, U.S. pork, the value add from the soybeans through the pork, and then ultimately with USMEF collaborating and work with the folks here in the Korean office and being subject matter experts.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com. Or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel still waiting for the return of all the hostages, but Hamas says right now there are no more remains to turn over. It is clear from a chilling video that at least some inside Hamas are carrying out retribution. ABC Stephanie Ramos.
With Hamas back on the streets of Gaza, video appears to show the militants carrying out a public execution, raising concern about whether the terror group will be willing to disarm.
U.S. officials say Hamas has not violated the peace deal. President Trump is now considering military strikes on Venezuela to go after drug cartels. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Trump now acknowledging he's authorized covert CIA action in the country, escalating a campaign against Venezuela's authoritarian leader, Nicolas Maduro.
The media is standing firm against new Pentagon rules requiring reporters clear their stories with Secretary Hegseth. Reporters turned in access badges and exited the Pentagon yesterday. This is ABC News.